the President's Press Conference at the Little White House, Key West, Florida, 15 November, 1951.
Oreo of France holds the Big Four meeting, and you know what your views on that have been in the past. Wonder what you think of this proposal.
Yeah, my views haven't changed. The United Nations is a conference you should attend and work with.
Mr. President, do you have anything to add to your meeting with Churchill in January?
No.
Mr. President, do you care to comment on the killing of the 5,500 American prisoners of war by the North Koreans and the Chinese?
I think it's a horrible thing. I have no official facts on the subject as yet, but I suppose they'll come up to me eventually. But I think it's a horrible thing. It's the most uncivilized thing that's happened in the last century, if it's true.
Mr. President, does the killing of these Americans bring any closer to the day when tactical atom bombs may be used in Korea?
No comment.
Mr. President, did you at any time in your conversations with General Eisenhower discuss domestic politics?
Did not. He's made that statement, and so have I. And I think we both have reputations for telling the truth, and it ought to end right there.
President, the Kroc story, though, does beg one question, sir. Do you have any intention of supporting General Eisenhower for the Democratic
Party? No comment.
President, what was your reaction to Vyshinsky's response to your proposal? He laughed all night, he couldn't sleep.
Well, if Vyshinsky laughed all night, that's the first time in his life that he's ever had a hearty laugh that I know of.
Do you have hopes, Mr. President, despite Vyshinsky's laughing all night, that perhaps the Russians might come around to that?
We of course have no official communication from the Russian government itself on its attitude toward the proposal that was made by the three powers. We hope that that reaction will be favorable. I think the Russian people want peace just as all the rest of the world want peace.
Do you think it will be favorable?
I hope it will be favorable.
That is, sir, the response of the Russian people themselves, I think.
Response of the Russian government to the proposal.
You haven't heard anything official?
Nothing official, though.
Mr. President, what do you think of Governor Warren's announcement?
Governor Warren's a fine man. I once said that he was a Democrat and didn't know it.
Is that still going, President?
He's still going.
Mr. President, Senator Taft says that the Korean War is a Truman War and hasn't done any good. Do you think that thing's in politics or that it should be an issue in the campaign?
It should not.
Mr. President, I've been asked you about your best recollection again of the conversation you had with Chief Justice Hughes when you were filling a vacancy. When you were filling the vacancy of Chief Justice, there seems to be some conflict in a new book that's just come out, an authorized biography of Hughes, as to whether he recommended Mr. Vinson to you or whether he recommended Mr. Jackson.
Well, the facts are these. I don't mind telling you what the facts were. I telephoned to Justice Hughes, Chief Justice Hughes. He had was retired at that time, and told him that I would like to come out and see him. He was up in the 80s at that time, and discuss the vacancy of the Chief Justice on account of the death of Chief Justice Stone. He said that he would immediately come down to the office, which he did. And we had a most pleasant conversation. I imagine it lasted an hour or more. And we went over all the justices of the circuit court, the circuit courts of appeals, the judges of the circuit courts of appeals in the United States, discussed various individuals all around the country, and some state Supreme Court judges. And at the end of the conversation, the Chief Justice said that there was a man in my cabinet who was eminently fitted for the position. He hadn't been mentioned up to that time. And it was the Secretary of the Treasury, Mr. Vinson. I had the same sort of a conversation with Mr. Justice Roberts, along exactly the same lines, and he wound up with exactly the same recommendation. Those are the facts.
Mr. Roberts had left the court for that.
Yes, he was living in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And he came down to see me at my invitation on the same subject.
Came down from Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, yes.
What year was that?
Well, let's see.
Well, 46.
46, yes,
April,
that's right. It was 46. I think that's correct. I think it was 46. I was down in Chesapeake Bay on the Williamsburg when I got the word that the Chief Justice had passed away.
Mr. President, when are you going to, are you going to issue the order that Representative King requested? He said yesterday that you told him he would issue that.
I suggested to Representative King that he call me and discuss the situations that have been developing before his committee. And then I suggested to him to send me a memorandum on the subject, which he agreed to do. That memorandum has not arrived, and I don't want to comment on it, what took place until I see the memorandum.
But you've made no promise to issue the order?
I've made no promise of any kind to anybody. But I want to see that we get at the bottom of the inquiry with justice to all concerned. And if anybody's at fault, you'll have to take the consequences.
President, in your State of the Union message, do you expect that you will recommend again your Fair Deal program?
Of course. Fair Deal will be a part of the Democratic platform, too. I can guarantee you that.
Regardless of who runs,
Tony.
Mr. President, there's been another Washington report while you were down here that some intimate in Washington said that you might announce your own plan.
I didn't get that, Joe. You say it again a little louder, please.
Well, there was a column, I think it was Paul Leach, said that intimates in Washington said that while you were here that you expected to announce your plans to speak to you, perhaps.
No, I had no intention of doing that, Joe.
You'll let us know if you change your mind.
Oh, well, yes, I'll probably see you a time or two before I leave here. You can still ask the same question. I'll give you the same answer.
Your last word was that you wouldn't do anything, you wouldn't disclose anything until after you presented your three messages.
That's correct.
That still stands.
That still stands. And it may be a little later than that before I I wanted to say something further about these investigations that have been going on and the discoveries of some malfeasance in office. Whenever that is discovered, immediate action has always been taken to part the men who've done wrong from the service, and if they committed any criminal acts that have been put before grand jury. My opinion that the average of the government employees is above the average of employees of big business and newspapers and every other line of business. But whenever a government employee goes wrong, it's always been my attitude to immediately take the necessary steps to part him from the service and take whatever legal procedures are necessary to see that he's punished if he's committed a crime. I still think that the average government employee is an honorable man or an honorable woman. And I think that most of them, vast majority of them, I'd say more than 95%, try to deliver to the government what they're paid for. And some of them, a great many of them, deliver a great deal more than they're paid for. I think you ought to make that perfectly clear. Some effort on the part of some columnist to whom you referred, not the one you referred to specifically, but some columnists have been trying to imply that the President of the United States condoned misconduct in public office. That isn't true at all. The record will speak for itself, though.
Well, Mr. President, you're obviously enjoying yourself out there.
Yes, I'm feeling well and getting an immense amount of work done. You'd be surprised. I get to work in the daytime now instead of all night. Get to sleep at night. That's the reason I feel better.
Mr. President, back to my question about the fair deal program. Do you anticipate that the Taft-Hartley Act will again be an issue in the campaign?
We'll have to analyze any amendments that are made by the next session of Congress before I can answer that question.
May I ask you this question? Do you favor a change in the law as it now stands?
Yes.
Would you be able to say?
No, I don't want to elucidate on it because it's a very complicated proposition.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Well, you have a nice
your fellows are served in Italy this morning.